This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Hey, welcome to 2014. How many times have you written 2013 on checks yet?
Not once.
Really?
Because I really think about it each time I go, 1-4, 1-4.
I know. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And I don't think I've torn anything up yet that I wrote 2013 on by accident. Yet,
yes.
You know, it'd probably be fine now, but then probably somewhere around like June, because you'll stop thinking about
right.
it, so you'll just do it by accident.
Yeah.
Oh well, we'll get by.
It'll be okay.
We'll get by. Yeah. Speaking of getting by, did you get through the weather okay this week?
Yes, it was bitter. That's for sure. But yeah,
it's tough hauling young children around when it's like 20 below zero.
Yeah. Well, luckily, since you know Mike works outside, it was too cold for them even. So. Mm-hmm. He was home Monday and Tuesday that I could leave the kids home with him and have to worry about getting them outside in the cold. So that was very nice.
You had to leave the kids home with your husband all yes, day?
All day.
Doesn't that make you worry?
They were alive when I came home. So.
Well, that's a good thing.
I mean, the house was a little bit of a mess. I mean, kind of hard to tell since it was already a mess anyways. But yeah, you can tell why he gets a little more free roam to range when... He's home with Daddy and Brianna, so that's all right, though.
So
it's
now
all fun.
We know who cracks the whip, huh?
mine's not much harder, but...
No. You do what you got to do to
yeah.
make ends meet, right?
Yep.
Do what you have to do. Well, I hope you got through the cold weather this week. Boy, it was cold
yeah.
last weekend, especially Sunday into Monday morning. Monday morning was really cold.
Yeah.
And then we turned around and Tuesday it started to warm up a little bit after the cold start. And as the week went on now, nice now this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, nicer than
we'd
expect.
It feels nice compared
yeah.
to
Yeah, it really
what
does.
It was.
You know, I had to laugh, though, with all that cold weather coming through. All of a sudden we had all these weather people trying to come up with all kinds of fancy words.
Oh, really?
It's like this Arctic vortex oh. or something and whatever else and stuff. And I just had to laugh. I just wanted to grab them by the neck and say, hey, it's winter.
Yeah.
It happens every year. Quit trying to put fancy names on the stuff. Well, you weather people are wrong so often that you got to come up with a fancy name to make it, to kind of give us all this bluster so
yeah.
we don't realize that you're actually wrong in your forecast. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he put the sun where he put it and tilted the earth the way he tilted it, we knew once per year we were going to have winter.
Yes.
So you can't come up with all kinds of creative names and stuff for it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh. It gets cold in the winter, and all of a sudden we're...
Surprised.
Oh, my. I can't believe it. It's winter. It's
yes,
Iowa.
It's
going to get cold. Yeah. We haven't had that much snow, though, really, this year.
No, we really haven't.
I just jinxed it, of course.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, way to go. No, it really hasn't been all that bad. I mean, the winter hasn't been terrible.
It hasn't.
It's had its moments. But in the long term, you know, we haven't had one of those winters where it, like, snows 2 feet.
Right.
In November, and then we never see sidewalk again until April.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Very good thing.
I can deal with the snow, though. It's the cold I really don't care much for.
Yeah.
And the older I get, I think I'm starting to wonder if our blood doesn't thin as we get older.
Can't handle it as well.
I don't like the cold weather so much anymore. I'm finding I have to bundle up more and more
yeah.
all the time, and I'm not really caring for that all that much. You know, what we need to do, though, too, is one of the things we need to kind of consider is in the wintertime, you know, when we do tend to bundle up ourselves when we go outside, mm-hmm. we also bundle up our homes. You know, folks that might have homes that are still using storm windows and things that have some of the older window casements on there, or maybe putting up storm windows and things. But, you know, otherwise, anymore, it seems like a lot of our home heating and cooling systems are such that we never want to open a window.
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep everything locked down tight.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I guess good for that. It's good for the pocketbook, I suppose. But on the other hand, you know, if you don't have any, you know, decent airflow in and out of the home, you know, you lock it down so tight, well, then you run some other risks as well. And I know I had a chance to talk the other day with Sean Schaus, and we'll hear that later on this next week. But he's an Iowa State University ag engineer, and we were talking about radon. People don't think much about that anymore. 15, 20 years ago, we were talking about it a lot because it was kind of, it wasn't a new phenomenon, but it was something that there was a real big push on at that time. And folks were really urged to take a strong look at that, maybe test their home for it, especially here in the upper Midwest where we're more susceptible to radon than they are in some other areas of the state. I think it's kind of become a little bit of a forgotten phenomenon, and folks don't really, they just don't think about it. you know, you look around most homes, you see smoke detectors, maybe carbon monoxide detectors. But I don't know how many people actually test for radon gas in their homes.
We haven't, no.
Yeah, so, you know, it's I don't know how many people do that. But, you know, you can always do that, and it actually it doesn't cost that much, too. I was kind of surprised talking with Sean. If you want to do a radon test, it's real easy. It's a little can, literally. It's got it's a little can with stuff inside. I can't think of what the terminology
like
is.
Like strips or something?
No, it's... it's got I can't think of what it is now off the top of my head. But anyway, it's a little can about the size of a tuna can.
Okay.
And you go out and you can buy one. Sometimes you can find them at hardware stores, but you know you can also go online too. The folks with the Cancer Society sell those, and they don't sell them; they give them away. They suggest a $10 donation, but that's all it is, and that includes the testing after the fact, not just the kit, but sending to get it tested too. But no, all you do is you take it and you just peel back the top, and it lets the any gases and stuff then flow through into that, and it's kind of a charcoal-like stuff inside there where it traps that stuff, and then any gases, and then you just leave it there for a few days, then you package it back up again, seal it back up, and you mail it in. They'll send you the results and let you know if you have any kind of a radon problem in your home. But
pretty simple.
You know, yeah, it really is. And it, like I say, it doesn't cost that much to do. But if you're testing for something like that, you know, gee, why would I test for radon? Well, you know, because radon is the second largest cause of lung cancer in this country. That's after, of course, smoking, after tobacco products. But yeah, it's an easy way to help save the family. And the pets and anybody else who spends time in your home. Radon it's natural. It's a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas. And as I said, it's the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. But testing is real easy, and it's not very expensive. And then you know, you kind of have an idea. So, you know, if you've lived in your home for a long time, well, then you might want to consider the lives of your children, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's all about long-term exposure. About 21,000 Americans die from radon-related lung cancer each year. So by doing a little bit of testing, and if you do have elevated levels in your home, then going out and taking the proper steps to protect against that, you can do yourself a lot of good. So, yeah, we'll talk to Sean a little bit later on this week on my morning program, too, about that. But, you know, something we don't think a lot
about
sometimes. And then along those same lines, I was looking at some other information from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission and the United States Fire Administration. This time of the year is also a time when folks, there's usually a spike in home fires in the winter months. Cooking and home heating are the leading causes of residential building fires in the winter time. And they tell us, too, that the risk of fires also increases with the use of supplemental heating, like space heaters and things. And we've seen that around here.
Yeah.
But, you know, carbon monoxide dangers and fires and things like that are a real big issue when we seal up our homes and when it's cold outside and we're trying to do some other things. So some hints that they give us about that thing, here's some safety tips they give us, is that, you know, space heaters should be on a floor. Make sure it's flat and it's level. Don't put space heaters on rugs or carpets because they can overheat and those fibers will light up pretty quickly. Keep space heaters at least 3 feet from bedding, drapes, furniture, and other flammable materials. You always want to keep any space heaters out of the flow of foot traffic. Children and pets obviously should stay away from space heaters. They don't get it.
Yeah.
And the last thing you need is for them to tip one over or get burned or something
right.
with them, too. Also, to prevent the risk of a fire, you should never, in capital letters, never, leave a space heater on when you go to sleep. Or place a space heater close to anyone who's sleeping. Not a good thing. Make sure you turn your space heater off when you leave the area. And that's just like going to another room. Don't leave it on behind you. Also, some other notes they leave here for us, too, is don't ever use gasoline in a kerosene space heater. Because even small amounts of gasoline mixed with kerosene can increase the risk of a fire. Doesn't sound like the best idea anyway.
No.
If you do have a real fireplace, a wood-burning fireplace, flues, chimneys, make sure you inspect them for leakage and blockage from creosote or other debris every year. You also want to make sure you open the fireplace damper before you light a fire and keep it open until the ashes are cool, because an open damper helps prevent the buildup of any poisonous gases inside the home. Also, fireplace ashes should be stored in a fire-resistant container and cover them with a lid, and make sure you keep the container outdoors away from other combustibles. You want to make sure you dispose of any fireplace ashes carefully. Keep them away from dry leaves, trash, or other combustible materials. That's has to do with a lot of things about fire and stuff like that. But when you're looking at some other things too, with regard to carbon monoxide poisoning, you can schedule a yearly professional inspection of all fuel-burning home heating systems, like furnaces, boilers, fireplaces, wood stoves, water heaters, chimneys, those types of things. You should never operate a portable gasoline-powered generator in an enclosed space, you know, like a garage, a shed, or a crawl space in the home. Keep portable generators as far away from your home and your neighbors' homes as possible, and keep them away from open doors, windows, or vents that could allow deadly carbon monoxide into your home as well. When you purchase a space heater, ask the salesperson whether the heater has been safety certified. A certified heater will have a safety certification mark, and they have the most up-to-date safety features as well. Don't use portable propane space heaters indoors. Gag me. Or in any confined space, unless they are specifically designed for indoor use. And also, gas or electric stoves should not be used to heat the home. It's not what they're made for.
No.
They're made for cooking dinner. Don't use them to heat the home. That's not the purpose, and they can pose a carbon monoxide or just a fire hazard in general. So think about those kinds of things. As I said, we don't have to go very far. We've seen close to home where some issues have come up with portable space heaters and things, trying to, you know, keep
pipes
thawed out. And it just, it happens so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a life-changing experience, whether someone is hurt or not. So make sure you do those things and keep it safe here this winter. There are lots of ways to keep warm. Just bundle up.
Yeah.
Stay close to the ones you love.
Yes. Snuggle.
Spoken like a woman. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be back. We'll have more for you here in just a moment.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
What you eat is a big part of your health and wellness. Heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers are linked to what you eat. This is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Memorial Hospital for the past 36 years. Eating plenty of whole grains, vegetables, and fruits, along with substituting fish for one serving of red meat a week, will help give your body the fuel it needs to support you in an active, healthy lifestyle.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital, neighbors caring for neighbors.
And away we go, back into some serious business here. You have some events coming up here you want to tell us about?
I sure do. The Holy Trinity Church, their soup supper is on January 12th. That's from 4:30 to 7. That will be held at the Holy Trinity Parish Hall in Exira. And they'll be serving chicken noodle soup, chili, oyster stew, sandwiches, pie, and desserts and beverage at just $7 for adults, $3.50 for children 12 and under, and then preschoolers are free, and they also have takeouts available. So that's the Holy Trinity Church's Soup Supper on January 12th from 4:30 to 7 in Exira. The Avondale Church of Rule Fontenelle, their soup luncheon is also on January 12th. Theirs is from 11 to 1. The menu will be oyster and chili, sandwiches and pie, and that's for a free will offering. So that's at the Avondale Church of Rule Fontenelle, their soup luncheon on January 12th from 11 to 1. Just a reminder, fill the feeder for the swans. The Cass County Conservation has teamed up with Atlantic's Orchland store to help feed the trumpeter swans. At the registers, you can buy a bag of whole cleaned corn, and then they'll set those aside for the trumpeter swans, and that's going on now until January 31st. Remembering Our Fallen is going to be on display through January 13th at the Exira EHK Middle School in Exira, and then also over at the Exira EHK High School in Elkhorn from January 14th through the 17th. What it is, it's a reminder of the ultimate sacrifice made by over 80 Iowans killed in the War on Terror while wearing our country's uniform in Afghanistan or Iraq. And the display is open to the public during normal school hours, that's 8 a.m. to 3:30. And they have some extended hours on January 12th, it's from 1 to 3 in Exira, January 14th from 5 to 9 p.m. in Elkhorn, and January 17th from 5 to 9 p.m. in Elkhorn. The opening ceremony for the high school in Elkhorn is on January 14th, that's at 8:30 a.m. The public is invited to attend. There's no charge to view the display, thanks to several local businesses and individuals for sponsoring the exhibit's appearance at the Exira EHK schools. Also, there's free admission to the Museum of Danish America. That's now through January 31st. With the free admission, you'll get to see the museum's permanent exhibit Across Oceans Across Time, Victor Borga Kiosk, Lego Play Area, Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park, and, of course, the museum shop. And that's going on now through January 31st. That's free admission to the Museum of Danish America. We have a Red Cross blood drive coming up in Elkhorn. It's on January 14th, and that's at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall. It's from 11:30 to 5:30, and this blood drive is a little special. It's in honor of Noah Peterson, the son of Kevin and Carrie Peterson of Walnut, and he's been in chemotherapy sessions and received blood transfusions to help his hemoglobin levels keep stable. And Noah now enjoys farming, trucks, tractors, and riding four-wheelers. To make an appointment, you can call Ann White at 712-764-5888. That's a Red Cross blood drive in Harlan on January 14th, and that's at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall from 11:30 to 5:30. The BPO Joe's meeting is on January 14th. It's at the Elks Lodge in Atlantic. They're going to have dinner at 6:30 and then their business meeting at 7:30. A Smart Choice health insurance program that's going to be offered at the Guthrie County Extension Office on January 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's applicable to both current health insurance consumers and those who are newly eligible through the Affordable Care Act. Some of the topics include key health insurance terms and concepts, comparing policies, a new health insurance marketplace, premium tax credits, and other cost reductions. They just need you to pre-register, and you can call the Guthrie County Extension Office, and they'll also have a meal provided for that. So that's on January 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Guthrie County Extension Office. Also, January 15th is the final date to sign up for the business tax credit at the Cass County Assessor's Office. Anyone signing up after this deadline, the credit will be applied to the following tax year. The January meeting of the Atlantic BPW is on January 15th. It's at the Pizza Ranch at 6:30. The program will be Personality Types, presented by Kelly Jimerson. You can just RSVP to the Evite or contact Kelly. A penguin camp will be held for children in kindergarten through second grade. That is on January 20th, and that's at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. The youth may register for either the 9 to noon or the 1 to 4 classes. Activities include penguin crafts. You'll learn about penguins and make a fact book. Take an outdoor adventure by going on a winter hike and coloring in the snow. And you'll enjoy a live bird presentation by the Blank Park Zoo and participate in games and activities about penguins. These camps are offered free of charge, but you do need to pre-register. They'll also have a snack provided. Also a reminder for the parents, make sure you dress your children in warm weather since they'll be going outdoor for fun in a winter hike. Registration deadline is January 15th. All you need to do is call the Cass County Extension Office, or you can email them to register your children. Also, no registrations will be accepted after the registration deadline, so make sure you get those in before January 15th. All camps are sponsored by the Cass County ISU Extension and Cass County Conservation Board. Again, the Penguin Camp is for kids kindergarten through second grade on January 20th. It's at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic, and there's two different times, 9 to noon and 1 to 4.
I like penguins.
I think that'd be fun to go and see. I always like to go to the zoo of the Henry Dorley and just kind of stand there and watch them swim. And
I could stand in front of that penguin enclosure all day.
And plus, it feels nice on those hot days.
Yeah, it's true.
Hot days.
I don't know why it is, but I just get a kick out of watching the penguins.
Watching them swim down.
Yeah.
And yeah. Especially
fun.
When they get to see them getting fed.
And they come flying back out of the water again on their bellies, sliding.
Shoot up,
I just love watching. Some people like standing by the monkey cage. Yeah. I like watching the penguins.
Yeah, I'd prefer the penguins, too. It smells a lot better in there.
True.
A Red Cross blood drive is in Atlantic on January 16th. That's from noon to 6. It's at the Atlantic Catholic Parish Center. Also, a Red Cross blood drive is in Westphalia on January 16th. That is from noon to 6 at St. Boniface Parish Center. A roller skating at the Agri-Hall Fairgrounds. That's on January 17th and 31st. Also February 14th, March 14th, and 28th. They'll have beginners at 6. And then everyone else is from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's just $4 per person. That's roller skating at the Agri-Hall Fairgrounds coming up in January 17th and 31st. The Audubon Band Boosters Cavatini Supper will be held on January 17th. That's from 5 to 7 at the Audubon High School game, and it's also the Pink Out game, so make sure you attend that. Audubon County Crime Stoppers Soup Supper is on January 18th. That will be held in the Memorial Building. That's from 5 to 7. Cost is $7 for adults, $3.50 for kids 12 and under, and then preschoolers are free. And they'll be serving chili, oyster, and vegetable beef soup, sandwiches, bars, and drink. Over in Exira, the Exira Masons Breakfast Fundraisers on January 19th. It's from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Exira Rec Center. They'll be serving lots of goodies, biscuits and gravy, eggs, Belgian waffles, French toast, and that's all for a free will donation. Proceeds from that will go to the Rec Reno Project, and just in case of snow, they already have it rescheduled for January 26th if it gets too much snow out. That's the Exira Masons Breakfast Fundraiser, January 19th from 8:30 to 12:30, and that's at the Exira Rec Center. We got quite a few blood drives coming up. We'll go through those in Avoca on January 20th from noon to 6 at the American Legion. And on January 21st in Red Oak from 11:30 to 5:30 at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Also in Walnut on January 22nd from 7:30 to 5 at the Walnut High School. And then in Lewis on January 23rd from noon to 5:30 at the Lewis Community Center. And then back in Atlantic on January 28th from noon to 4 at Molly. I'll go back up here to the Audubon County Republican Caucus is on January 21st. That's at 7 p.m. at the Exira Public Library. And let's see here. One final thing. The quarterly meeting at the Iowa Bluebird Conservationists will be held on January 26th at 1 at the Indian Creek Museum in Hastings. Learn to attract and protect Iowa's bluebird population, and the public is invited to attend that. For more information, you can contact Pam Scholes, 712-778-2397. It's the quarterly meeting of the Iowa Bluebird Conservationists on January 26th at 1 at the Indian Creek Museum. That's just in outside of Hastings.
Very good.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff coming
sure
up here.
Sure is.
Got a couple of other things, too, I wanted to share. Coming up on Saturday, January 18th, will be the Elliott Fireman's 60th Annual Deer and Roast Pork Feed. That'll be held at the Elliott Community Building starting at 5:30 p.m. They'll also be serving mashed potatoes and gravy, beans, salad, and bread. That's the 60th Annual Deer and Roast Pork Feed. The Elliott Fireman will be hosting that at the Elliott Community Building Saturday, January 18th, 5:30 p.m. is the time for that. Also, the folks in Adair County are hoping you'll come out and help support the fair by supporting the soup, lunch, and pie auction that'll be held coming up on Sunday, January the 19th. That'll be held at the Adair County Fairgrounds in Greenfield from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the pie auction getting underway at 12:30. Now, the menu for food that day includes chili or potato soup with ham soup, relishes, and your choice of pie or bar. They just look for your free will donation to that with all the funds used for fairground improvements and exhibition of the 2014 Adair County Fair. So a lot of folks work real hard for all that. This is your chance to put a little bit of money into that as well with that soup, lunch, and pie auction. Again, that's Sunday, January 19th at the Adair County Fairgrounds in Greenfield from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Talking fair already.
Yeah, crazy.
Boy, speaking of talking fair. Boy, the state fair really got slapped in the forehead, didn't they?
They sure did. I think they got a huge response that nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. The state fair, if you're not sure what we're talking about, the state fair board came out with a proposal this last week that they were going to no longer accept good old green. No more cash at the fair. They were going to make you buy tickets. It's like going to Dave and Buster's or something.
Yeah, because you want to stand in one line to purchase this and then get in line again. And,
exactly. Yeah. So you're going to have to go buy, the proposal was that you'd have to buy tickets, and those tickets then would be used in lieu of money at all the different vendors and stuff on the fairgrounds. Now, I have no idea who that, you know, how that benefits me.
Right. They're saying, I think, it's supposed to be more secure and faster since the vendors would not have to make change. That was what I read.
So how do I say this without sounding nasty? But if you're too dumb to make change, you're probably too dumb to be running a business.
Hey.
Am I wrong?
No.
So much. Yeah. Well, and I mean, but seriously, what, you know, well, anyway, that got shot down. Not going to happen now. In one day, that got shot down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was proposed one day, and by the next day, I think actually by the end of that day, they were already saying, never mind, we're not doing it.
Well,
change their minds.
It's good that they listen to everybody that... You know, goes and
well, it's yeah. I guess you have a discussion about something like that, and that's how it happens. And people spoke, and they overwhelmingly spoke on social media and whatever else that they said that is dumb. Don't do it. So they didn't. They said, okay, never mind. Off the table. Not going to do it.
Forget we said anything.
Yeah, never mind. So that was the end of that. So I guess we don't have to worry about that stuff with State Fair anyway. Got some birthdays over there for us?
I sure do. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Audrey Zimmerman of Avoca. She's celebrating her 90th birthday on January 12th, and her friends are requesting a card shower in her honor. So send Audrey a card to 612 East York Road, apartment 18 in Avoca, 51521. And again, that's happy birthday to Audrey J. Zimmerman of Avoca, celebrating her 90th birthday on January 12th. You can send her a card to 612 East York Road, apartment 18 in Avoca, 51521. Over at the Xyra Care Center, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Byron Nielsen, celebrating his birthday on January 11th. Also, happy birthday to Avis Bittner, celebrating her birthday on January 18th. Over at the Salem Lutheran Home, a happy birthday to Anna Flynn, celebrating her birthday on January 16th. Also, Millie Eskov, celebrating her birthday on January 16th. Happy birthday to Ron Bohm on January 17th, and also happy birthday to Luetta Smith, celebrating her birthday on January 18th. And let's see, over at the Audubon Care Center, Audubon Home, happy birthday to Elaine Christensen, celebrating her birthday on January 12th, and happy birthday to Arlene Fence Coons, celebrating her birthday on January 13th.
And that would be the Friendship Home.
Yes. Yes, Friendship Home right in front of me.
Well, you said the Audubon Home, and I thought,
okay. It didn't sound right once I said it. I'm like, that's not right.
I know what you mean, but they do have an actual name, so we thought we'd throw that in there real quick. I don't have any anniversaries to tell you about this time. We don't have any babies to share with you either, although there are days when Stacy would like to share her babies with lots of people so that she could have some free time.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's not the kind of sharing.
I love my kids, but sometimes it'd be nice to clean up the house a little bit.
Not the kind of sharing we're talking about. No, yeah, you're no different than any other mother. Any mother that tells you that they never wanted to be separated from their children,
they're
probably
lying.
Trying to put a smiley face on that.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to share something, too, that I had a chance to visit the other day, and we'll hear that later on this week, too, on my morning program. But had a chance to visit with Steve Hewton, and a lot of folks from around the area might remember Steve as a plumbing, heating, and electrical contractor. He's from Kimbleton. He's retired from doing that now, but he's got a new career. Hmm. He's a writer.
Really?
Yeah, he's a published novelist.
Wow.
It's nice. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, he always kind of thought he had it in him to do something like that. And when he took classes, he didn't graduate from high school until about, a couple of days before his 30th class reunion.
Oh, really?
Or not high school, college, rather.
Right.
And he said, he had a literature teacher who said, what are you majoring in? Because you need to stop. You need to do this because you're really good.
Wow.
And he decided, well, maybe give that a shot. So he'd always kind of had this idea for a book in the back of his head. And so he started working on it. It took him about a year and a half, but he got the book put together and found a publisher and got it published.
Wow.
And it's out there. You can find it anywhere. The book is called Back in the Day. And what it is, it's kind of it's fiction. But he's drawing on some of his experiences and some of those of his friends for a fictional character named Jimmy Reno. So it kind of talks about some of the experiences in high school, you know, and going to school, chasing girls, playing ball, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, of course, this is in the 60s. So this is growing up in the 60s. And of course, then you're dealing with the reality of the draft and going to Vietnam and sacrificing and all those kinds of things and all the different types of issues and things that come up. So it's something that folks who live through that time can seriously relate to.
Yeah.
In fact, some of them might, he jokes, some of them might read it and say, hey, that was me.
Yeah.
And it might have been
that
you.
That'd be pretty cool, though. You're reading it like, hey, yeah.
It might have been your story. But yeah, so the book is called Back in the Day. And it's written by Steve Hewton of Kimbleton. And you can find it at bookstores all over the country. Tate Publishing is the publishing company. And you can get it on barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com as well. It's in e-version also. So, yeah, check it out. I've just started reading a copy of it. And it's going to take me a little bit of time to get through it. It's not a big book, but I just started reading it. And it's very interesting. He's a very good writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he brings you right into the story. You can tell good writers because they just draw you right in.
You can imagine everything.
Yep. Very good.
Very good.
So check it out. That's all the time we have for you here this weekend. This is Jim Field.
And Stacy Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.